Welcome to the Elevate Podcast, brought to you by the Registered Master Builders. Each week we explore the ideas and practices that help us get the best from our businesses, our teams, and ourselves. I'm your host, Ryan Castle. We talk to experts, advocates, and business owners in the construction industry to share their knowledge, insights, and experiences to help you build a better business and enjoy a better life. Now let the business building begin. Glenn Duncan, General Manager of the Builders Academy. Welcome along to the Master Builders Elevate podcast. Great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to a good chat.
Indeed. And look, a new collaboration between Master Builders and the Builders Academy. Could you maybe start off by telling us how that collaboration came about?
It's a bit of a long-winded story, but I can give a bit of a description of how we arrived to where we're at. The main reason, as per Master Builders' press release, is around providing choice in the industry for training partners. The government around 5 years ago, the Labor government, put in place a reform of vocational education, or ROVE, as it was known, leading to the formation of the New Zealand Institute of Skills and Technology, which is trading as Te Pukenga, or as the press like to put it, the Mega Polytech. So there was a lot of work done in the formation of that. Overall, Te Pukenga would have had around 250,000 learners, 10,000 staff, and a number of campuses around the country. About 60% of those learners would have been work-based learners, and about 40% campus-based learners, or the old Polytech system. And the formation of Te Pukenga management structure and further down was shaping itself to be more focused on the campus world. You know, a lot of the senior leaders and strategists were all from the Polytech sector. I think there was one deputy chief executive that was from the work-based learning. So there was a big lean to becoming that giant Polytech that was forecast. And I was within that, working with the BCITO and in that formation, and decided that it wasn't where I wanted to end up. Te Pukenga, with regards to construction training, or carpentry in particular, was going to end up with over 99.5% of share of delivery. And, you know, in any sector, in any market in the world, that does not lead to innovation, good service, and a focus on the employers and the learners that is really deserved out there. So I took it upon myself, and working with Up Education, who are our parent company, to help provide an alternative for employers to go to. Employers in the past used to have an alternative. They had either what was the BCITO, a industry-owned entity, or the Polytech system, which was a Crown entity and had its different pathway. So if an employer wasn't satisfied with the delivery they're getting from one, they could move to the other and have an alternative. And that evaporated when the BCITO and the Polytechs were merged together into Te Pukenga. So, you know, with Up Education, we've sort of formulated a new organisation, rebranded the only other provider that could do carpentry in the system, and that was G&H Training, now branded to Builders Academy, with a focus in that carpentry area. And when we were forming the organisation to launch, we went out to various industry associations and talked to them about what we're doing and how we felt that we could offer them a good alternative, alternative that wasn't a Crown entity, wasn't steered by the government, that could be steered by the industry. And that's where Master Builders' interest rose, is that they had the option to become part of who we are and help steer us in a direction that industry would like. You know, Te Pukenga still had industry consultation, but it was still a Crown entity, which is predominantly driven by government's whims of the day, whereas Builders Academy can provide something that is driven primarily by industry's desire to have good training. That's a brief but in-depth description.
No, it's useful because it's, I think, a complex and maybe somewhat confusing environment for construction company owners out there at the moment who either already have apprentices or would like to continue to do so or add more. So getting some clarification around options and market for them now is powerful. What's Builders Academy vision for construction training?
The vision we've got is a clear pathway for someone entering the construction industry. There are a few free trade providers out there. One of our sister companies, NZMA, does pre trade in Auckland, but we're focusing from the apprenticeship sort of space onwards at the moment. So if you're into your apprenticeship and you spend your time learning your trade and learning about the industry, learning how to work safely within that area, and then sort of making a decision as you grow in that space as to what you want to do longer term. And then we like to provide a pathway for those people with one provider. In the past, you did your apprenticeship with one provider, then have to move to another provider for a higher level qualification and even up to a university. So we wanted to provide a direction with one provider in that space. So post-apprenticeship, they can move into a level 5 supervisor qualification, which gives them the people skills to either in a larger organization become a site foreman or leading hand, you know, working your way further up, or in a smaller organization, it gives you the skills to build a great team and you know, build that culture that gets efficiency and productivity up. And following on for that, for those that want to take a more professional career pathway, if they're in a larger organization, medium to large organization, they can move into diploma in quantity surveying and a diploma in construction management. So a couple of the professional qualifications. And we're aiming for all of this to be done whilst you're in employment and working towards that anyway. So the practical side is you're doing the job. And let's bring all the theory in behind it and backfill you as you go through there. So, most of your learning is going to be done on site. It's going to be done problem solving in your organization. And then we bring in the qualifications through. And, you know, as you work through that pathway, you're taking a piece of each qualification with you to the next. So there are chunks of learning that you don't have to do again in those next levels because you've already done it and your experience on site provides you with a lot of that knowledge anyway. And then there's another pathway that we're wanting to forge with Registered Master Builders, and that is around those that want to become a contractor or an entrepreneur. So there's an opportunity there to post-apprenticeship or post-supervisor qualification to do a bit of a sideways loop. We're not sure whether this is going to be just chunks of learning or actual qualifications, but I think it's going to be vital for those that want to move into that space. So it's going to be focused around running a small business and understanding some of the key disciplines that you're going to need around, you know, understanding your cash flow, a business plan, understanding quoting and back costing to see if you're making any money, you know, some of those basic things, understanding around the tax and what's going to be coming with that tax and ACC and all that sort of stuff, and preparing yourself so when you do get those bills, they are expected. They're not from out of the blue, and then you have to sell your boat and your ute to pay your tax bill. And that gives them some knowledge and an expectation of what's ahead of them. Still going to learn a lot as they go because running a business, things are thrown from left field all the time. But at least they know they've got those little bits and pieces, so the basics are there. They've got an understanding about making money, so they're not going to go out there, in theory, and undercut everyone just to get a job. So they've got to understand that they've got to make money and avoid some of those school of hard knocks that the traditional entrepreneurs have had to endure in the construction industry in New Zealand. So you're a great hands-on tools practitioner, but running a business is a completely different entity, different set of rules, different expectations. Yeah, so hopefully we can preload some of that so that those that move into that contractor entrepreneur space have got more chance of being a sustainable business for longer, which I think any industry association would be happy to have, because it's very hard to input that knowledge once you're in a business and running a business, because you're head down, bum up, trying to keep your contract on time, your customers happy, your materials arriving, the council happy. Yeah, you know, so there's so many other things that distract you that it's when the school of hard knocks can slap you. So that's the vision we're wanting to bring together within the next few years. That there's those pathways that are clear. With one provider, hopefully, with one coach and mentor a lot of that way.
Nice, Glenn. I like that that continuity of learning and so many options for people as they progress their career in different directions they can go. It sounds really powerful. Yeah. If we were to hone in on the pure apprenticeship aspect of what you deliver, give us some insight and maybe the context is there might be some people listening that haven't had an apprentice for a very long time, very out of touch with how an apprentice learns now and what the role of the construction company and the role of someone like Builders Academy is. Can you give us some insight into what that learning looks like now?
Our philosophy is that the best learning is done, you could say, where the best learning happens. So most of that is on site with your employer, with your supervisor, with your leading hand, because construction is mostly about solving problems on a daily basis. That's the majority of a qualified carpenter's job is reading the plans and going, oh gosh, they've had another architect's dream is a builder's nightmare. So how do I apply this, you know, solving those issues? So we feel apprentices being alongside the people that are on site doing that will help them grow quicker and understand more of the legislation and design requirements that are in a building environment. So they're doing the basics practically, working away, building their base skills on how to be a good carpenter, but also absorbing what's happening around them. And then we come along and underpin that with the theory that is the basic carpentry theory. The key thing to remember in all of this is that we're producing a competent carpenter, not a builder. A builder is someone that is a competent carpenter, but has also done a number of jobs from woe to go. Yeah, we've got to make sure that people understand, they've got to remember, what was I like when I came out of my apprenticeship? Was I a builder? No, I was a competent carpenter. So having really clear what the outcome of the program is, and the Builders Academy coming alongside and helping to input that theory. We've got a number of ways we're going to be doing that. One is self-based learning with the learning material that we provide. There are a number of people that can do that. You've got to remember, at the moment, the average age of apprentices is about 27. So they bring a level of maturity along with them at the moment, and self-based learning does work. And then there's night classes where we facilitate disciplined time more than anything. Those 27-year-olds, 40% of them have dependents nowadays or family. So going home and trying to focus on your theory is very challenging. So we provide space where they can come and we're there along with their colleagues or fellow apprentices and learn together and focus in that space. And we're also developing online tutorials at the moment to focus on the harder, more difficult components of the theory, being, you know, building science, building maths, legislation, and bits and pieces like that, some of the fundamental basics that underpin a builder's career further on. So, and the site visits that we do, or the assessment visits, we come every 6 weeks. The feedback we're getting on that is that it's providing an apprentice more motivation to focus on their learning, because they know that we're going to be turning up sooner rather than later. Other providers come every 3 or 4 months. So, you know, yes, it takes time to build skill, and it can take 3 to 4 months. But in that time, you can lose focus, you can get distracted, you know, and other things coming in. But knowing that we're coming along every 6 weeks, it gives them more of a focused, more, I've got to get onto it and prepare myself for the next visit. And yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean more time on site for the Builders Academy. We're coming along and assessing smaller chunks of learning and coaching and mentoring in smaller chunks. So, because we're coming more often, and therefore the site visits aren't as long, because you're not trying to process 3 or 4 months of learning and skill development. So we're sort of in and out and do our job without any major impact to the site. And this process that we've got now is allowing us more time to actually say, and how are you, to the apprentice or the employer. So the pastoral care side of what we do is we've got more time for that now. So we've come in, we've done the 6 weeks worth of learning, the goals, and set future goals. But now we've got more time to sort of focus on the apprentice and say, hey, how are you getting on? What barriers are in your way? How can we help? And that certainly seems to be helping things in the progress of those apprentices as well.
England, you refer to an assessment when the advisor comes to the site. Can you give us an example of what they would be assessing and kind of how that is done? Is it a discussion, or is it literally, can you go and build me an A-frame and tell me where it should be nailed?
So the qualification is made up of a number of components, and these are called standard or unit standards. And what we come along is we can either come along if there's been a focus in one particular area and assess a whole standard, or we can come along and assess pieces of all the standards, because a carpentry apprentice is not going to be doing one thing every day the same. And sometimes on a big commercial job they may do, where they end up hanging 400 doors in a couple of months, but in a lot of residential jobs it's a little bits here and a little bits there, and they all add up to a skill set being developed as they go. So it's coming along, understanding what they've done, what they've been doing, what they focused on in their learning, the theory, and then, you know, pulling them all together. And the assessment is a combination of things. Yes, there's some written work, because, you know, the the powers that be in the moderation world, where they want to check that we're gathering the right evidence, want to see a little bit of work that the apprentices have been doing. But for us, the most powerful tool is walking around the site with the apprentice and having a professional conversation where they are talking about what they've done and what they've how they've done it and why they've done it a certain way. So pulling all of those together, and it comes out of the apprentice's mouth. You can't deny that they know what they're doing. They haven't just transferred one piece of black and white to another piece of black and white. It's processed in their mind. They're communicating it. They're using the right terminology. They're focused on health and safety. They're focused on the standard of how to do it. And over time, they'll become a competent carpenter and be able to do those tasks in a commercial time frame. So it's just focusing in little chunks and just acknowledging the efforts and those little chunks that do make up the whole qualification.
And how are you bringing the voice of industry into the training to make sure that the training you're delivering fits with what industry is looking for?
Yes. So that's where our relationship with Master Builders and the joint venture that we've got is vitally important to us. It gives us a strategic direction. And Master Builders have got two members of their exec on their board, on our board. So we've got two board members. So they're giving us the strategic direction as an education organisation, working alongside a construction association. So they're saying, hey, the future's looking like this, or we've had feedback that we need to do this. So we're getting from the horse's mouth, you could say, and at a board level, not just a advisory group level. So it's a proper, really business approach to it. It gives the Master Builders more influence on Builders Academy strategic directions, our business planning, where we focus our energies with regards to training, and then the development of how we go about that. And it gives us a sounding board as well. Hey, we're thinking of this. Will it work? And R&B can come back and say yes and no. It allows us to tap into some of their groups, like their residential working group and their commercial working group, to really understand, you know, some of the challenges that are in those spaces for them with regards to skill development. It gives them direct feedback on Builders Academy service and sponsors of the industry. So again, if we're not delivering what we said we're going to deliver, and there's an opportunity there to feedback directly into our board level. So you don't get ignored when you've got that level of influence. Yeah, we receive a pool of industry experts to help us develop a service promise, how we go about working with both employers and apprentices on site. And we're putting together groups of actual employers and apprentices. So we're getting direct feedback from all levels. So the apprentice, the employer, the trainer, and the association. So we're sort of making sure that we cover all bases.
Okay. And can someone start an apprenticeship before they have a job with a construction company? Can they start doing training with you prior?
Not directly. So, you know, part of the rules around the New Zealand Apprenticeship Scheme, which is funded by Tertiary Education Commission, is that the learner must be in an employment relationship with an employer who's going to train them in that space. So it is imperative to enter into that agreement that they are employed. But, you know, we get people that have been employed for 2 or 3 years who then sign into a qualification. They don't start from point A. They may start from point D because they've had 3 years' experience. We come along, we acknowledge that, we understand where they're at, and we award the knowledge that they do have. We don't make them relearn things. So it does, yeah, all that experience does count towards your qualification.
And I know in previous conversations with the former chief executive, David Kelly, he was always referring to this challenge that the building industry faces, where as economic cycles change, we, you know, in times where maybe it's not quite so buoyant, we hire less staff, we hire less apprentices, we stop the training. And then, of course, things ramp up again, and then we don't have the skilled labor needed to execute what needs to be done. I know we're in, you know, generally we're in a slightly softer market condition now than maybe we've seen previously. What would be your advice to construction companies that are, you know, maybe pondering about getting an apprentice, but are also a bit hesitant with maybe their sales pipeline? How would you have them think about that decision at the moment?
It's never too early to train, I think, because like you say, you've got to you've got to have your skill base right for take opportunities that come for you in a recovering economy. Yes, the economy has slowed down a little bit. Consents have dropped, but they've dropped from a record high of 50-odd thousand down to around 34,000, 35,000 now, which is not far below what we believe is industry capacity of about 38,000 to 40,000. So mm-hmm. we're probably a little soft, but we're not far off what is industry capacity. When they were doing 50,000, industry was creaking and groaning and not coping. So it is a better training environment when there's a little bit of space to focus on your people. So I think they should continue with that. The government is still doing its boost incentive, which is a $500 a month per apprentice incentive that helps, you know, through those times. And that's what it's there for. It's there to help employers wear a bit of that margin loss that an apprentice gives you. So I think that they should continue to focus on training. You know, all a lot of the economic boffins are saying that we've sort of reached the bottom and it sort of looks fairly positive going forward. There is still demand there when you look at the wider infrastructure and construction and industry. Wahanga Rail produces some great data in their work in progress data, and that's looking, you know, fairly steady for the next few years. So, you know, when you combine a organized, you know, in my mind, this shows the importance of having that learning around running a business before you enter into a business, because yeah, you understand how your business works a lot better rather than going into panic mode and dropping everything or running off and not focusing on what you need to do. So it is economics, but yeah. I think there's never a time that you shouldn't be training your staff, because if you think about a job site, there's a pile of materials and a plan and what labor unit puts that plan together and creates those materials into a building. It's that human being that people need and rely on and need to be skilled. So the humans are an important component.
They certainly are. And a concept that's become somewhat popular is the idea of the reverse mentor, which is where people that have been in career a long time are actively engaging with younger people because they just bring a different perspective. A lot of our people coming through to apprenticeships now are tech native. They've been surrounded by technology. They don't remember a time when there was no cell phones and no internet. They've never known that. And yep. the ability to help bring those kind of ideas into our construction businesses and help us grow forward by use of technology and different approaches is really powerful. So it's not just about, I think, adding another set of hands on site. It's about yep. also adding a different perspective and some different skill sets that yep. might be able to help in a different way also.
And some knowledge. And you talk about that reverse mentor. We were having a conversation just the other day in the office around that sort of scenario where there are so many apps that are available nowadays for help people work out, you know, trusses and rafters and angles and all that sort of stuff. You still need the basic understanding of how that works, the mathematical formulas, because if you input something slightly wrong into that data, a bad data in, bad data out, and if you don't pick that up, that doesn't look right, and go ahead and make it, you're in for a bit of a problem there. So there's got to be still a bit of that base theory knowledge around Pythagoras and what have you. So when you input it and it comes up with a number, you go, oh, yeah, that looks right. Or, oh, no, that doesn't look quite right. I better check it sort of scenario. Yeah, so there's still a bit of friction between the two there. It's great to observe on site. Yeah,
it is. And I guess that's the power of a team on site, where you're bringing yeah. different levels of skill, different levels of experience, different knowledge sets, and bringing together in a team. And, you know, the sum of the team is greater than its parts.
Kind of yeah, because it's still possible to put the wrong data on the back of that 4x2 that you're writing on, sir.
Indeed. Glenn, if you were to look out as far as 2030, so another kind of 5-6 years time, what would you love Builders Academy to have achieved by that time?
For me, it's that vision of that career pathway, and to have adapted and developed that. You know, you talk about the digital influence. You know, a lot of inspections and consents are going to be digital in the near future. So how do we incorporate that into our learnings, prepare people for that sort of world? So yeah, it's having those key qualifications supplemented by the digital world, and then ensuring that the construction industry does actually become more productive. You know, there's just about every industry in New Zealand is behind in the productivity world, and how do we bring training in to help lift that. I was in a conversation about a month ago where they were talking about construction waste and how to recycle, repurpose, reuse. And the question I had in that conversation was, how much of that waste that's in those bins shouldn't be there in the first place. So how much is it caused by rework or human error, and how do we reduce that flow into that bin by training people better and getting them to understand and using the techniques, using digital and things like that? So it's, you know, it's not just about processing that waste in the right way, it's reducing it all around by having the whole site working efficiently from day one, sort of thing. So you can do things in isolation, but you know, an education provider can help that vision across the whole gambit, I suppose, and making sure that this wee problem that the employer or the industry is facing, it does have a solution more than just the back end, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Glenn. That's been really informative to help us understand what's happening in the training space. It's wonderful to see the collaboration, joint venture between Registered Master Builders and Builders Academy. I think those bring those two organisations with their different superpowers together. It seems like a powerful combination. And some of the and thanks for explaining some of the landscape of what's going on in training our apprentices in the construction sector now. It's been helpful. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, the most important thing, I suppose, is having a conversation about what we do and what we can do. If people aren't happy with their current situation in regards to training, by all means, get hold of us on our 800 number, 0800 876 4664, or jump on our website, buildersacademy.org.nz, and there's a link through to there. We're more than happy to come and talk about how we go about what we do, what we and why, and how can we build a relationship with the industry moving forward. We're really keen to get alongside employers and their apprentices.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate that. And thanks for joining us on the Master Builders Elevate podcast today.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for having me.